It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Hot Metal Modern Design in Pittsburgh and Beyond exhibit opening at the Carnegie Museum of Art. It has already opened. It's beginning a series of exhibitions highlighting Pittsburgh's role as a design center from the 1920s through the 1960s. Joining us with a preview here in our studio is the exhibit curator, Catherine Walworth. Catherine Walworth, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Pittsburgh is an industrial city. What made it a good place for modern design to emerge?
No, that's a great question because it is a wonderful industrial city, but it's also always been a terrific art city. So they were so interconnected that the result is pure invention. So they created new materials and then invented dreamed up new uses for those.
And so, you know, we're talking about when you look at this as from an art standpoint, we're talking about avant-garde art and cutting-edge material.
Right.
So by extension, can you tell us what companies like Westinghouse and PPG and Alcoa did in experimenting with these materials?
Right. Cutting edge is definitely the right word. And what's great about, you know, successful manufacturers like that also had artists on staff that were helping them to dream in these new directions, or they knew when they needed consultant artists and designers to help them out. So, for example, Alcoa had this program in the 1950s called the Forecast Program, where they reached out, they put their facilities at the use of famous designers at the time, Charles and Ray Eames, for example, and said, what could you possibly do with aluminum that hasn't been done before? So they would create something, and then they would hire a famous photographer to photograph it, and they would just put it out there so that the community at large nationwide would rethink, you know, take aluminum out of a car or a building. What could it possibly do for people in their everyday lives?
And what kind of reaction did it get, particularly from people around here?
Well,
or maybe I won't limit it to just people here.
Yeah.
Were people looking at this stuff going, man, look at what they're doing in Pittsburgh?
Well, that's what I was going to say. It had broader scope than that. Another big story in Hot Metal Modern is PPG, Pittsburgh Plate Glass Company. What they did was structural glass in the 30s during the Depression era transformed America. It was part of what was known as a modernized Main Street project that was government funded, and it turned their structural glass basically became what we think of today as those glorious movie houses of the 30s, or wonderful coffee shops and bars, those opulent glass structures.
Did this help kind of change our vision of America from something that was given to quaintness to something that was sort of German impressionistic, you know, metropolis looking type stuff?
No, that's a great question. And time again in this research, what was affecting these creative artists and inventors in Pittsburgh was the 1925 Paris Exposition, for example. So Coriopolis produced a line of glassware, for example, that was – it's extremely cubistic. The advertisements called it the craziest thing in glassware. And, you know, it was advertised for the alert hostess who, you know, it would seem strange to drink
the
out of –
the alert hostess.
The alert hostess. But I take that as alert to modern trends and progressive tastes.
Okay.
So you don't mind if the rim of your glass is not a perfect circle. It's actually broken up into shards. And the result of that is that you're more aware of the simple acts of life, of taking a drink of iced tea out of a glass that's inspired by Picasso, for example.
So it just is kind of opening up a new way of thinking.
I call it everyday opulence. It's the idea of marrying fine art and the things we use every day.
We're talking with Catherine Walworth. She is the curator of the Hot Metal Modern Design in Pittsburgh and Beyond exhibit at the Carnegie Museum of Art. And, you know, it's already been established in this program that reporters or journalists are sometimes given to hyperbole, but hopefully it's not oversimplifying or making it too big to say or to ask, how did this transform America?
Well, that's, you know, there are several individual stories in this installation. It's it's based on companies, it's based on risk-taking manufacturers. So that answer would be multi-pronged. But literally, the architectural facade of America was changed. The industrial facade, the idea of, you know, the forecast program was not meant to produce new things simply that hadn't been made in aluminum. It was meant to wallpaper the nation with inspiration and say to designers, now you take aluminum and do something you've never done with it before. So it was Pittsburgh was really challenging the rest of the country.
Well, we know that Edgar Kaufman Sr., as the patron of Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, but I understand that he advocated for modern design in his department store. How?
This is one of my favorite research topics of the project because, you know, people may or may not be aware that in the 20s and 30s that department stores thought of themselves as palaces of the arts and that they, you know, they would have things like Fabergé on view. They would have these exhibitions that rivaled the world stage's exhibitions. And Kaufman's was no different. And Edgar Kaufman Sr. really believed in bringing world design to Pittsburghers. And so it's wonderful that they had artistically trained staff with backgrounds in art and art history. They had to take courses and have symposia and be up on the latest research from the University of Pittsburgh, for example, of consumer marketing. I mean, they took a multi-pronged attack so that they could instruct their customers in the finest design and progressive avant-garde design.
I'm guessing that you don't need the same requirements for working at Macy's at the mall these days.
Well, it's a shame.
Well, and which leads me to my next question, which is that, you know, are we ever going to see that kind of visionary approach again?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, various people would answer that differently, and I'm a historian, so I'm always sort of looking backwards at what I consider a grand time. And, you know, one of the things that Kaufman did was he was very invested emotionally and financially in keeping the trades active and the training of craftsmen in Pittsburgh at the time. So we've lost a lot of that. But, you know, what they were selling were, we have a number of products that are new acquisitions for the museum, but were made in Pittsburgh. We're very excited about. We're excited about everything in the show, actually. It's a beautiful mix of objects from the 20s to the 60s.
And we'll get into some dates as far as, you know, how long people have to see this. But we have time for a couple more questions. We might have covered this earlier, but Hot Metal Modern has some ceramic and glass tableware from area manufacturers. How were these products revolutionary for their times?
These are also some of my favorite objects and favorite stories because we take for granted today just the ease and the casualness of our lifestyles. But we have Ava Zeisel and Russell Wright's tableware, two different lines. And people are probably more familiar with Russell Wright's American Modern, which even if they're not, they may be more familiar with sort of fiesta ware, that kind of thick earthenware, glaze, single color, beautiful jewel-like tones. But before that, we were still dragging on our backs these Victorian ways of dining and you know, tradition. And those dishes were hard to wash, you know? It's like the Mary and Russell Wright wanted to bring what was then considered bohemian ways of entertaining. The idea of having a potluck was just shocking, you know, or that your friends would see you washing the dishes. So they created this American Modern tableware that is, you know, rimless. It's thicker. It's stackable. It's everyday. They encourage you to mix and match colors and personalize it. And so these kinds of things were revolutionary. And it was everything in the exhibition is produced within an hour of Pittsburgh. So Steubenville, Ohio, took a chance on this design a few years after he'd already designed it and manufactured it. They made him pay for the molds because it was a risk. And it ended up becoming the most popular tableware in America.
What would be harder about washing a Victorian dish than a modern
well,
design?
Well, think of really fussy design or relief or, you know, it's porcelain. It chips very easily, for example.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I mean,
the other thing these would do would go from stove to table, for example. You could take the serving dish out of the oven, bring it to the table, which back then would not have happened. Yeah, newlyweds were encouraged to make it their own. Single pieces would have three different functions, for example.
We're down to less than a minute here, but the museum has done a lot of research on these products. I understand that there's more to be discovered.
Well, a lot of this came out of the inspiration for this show really came out of the fact that we're doing so much heavy Pittsburgh-based research for the Peter Muller Monk exhibition, which is opening in November. And all of these great stories were coming up. And it's a renewed collecting focus, 20th century design, Pittsburgh design for the museum. So this is celebrating that fact. And it'll be open. This will be sort of a long-term installation. It'll be up for at least a year.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
And it's already underway. Again, it's Hot Metal Modern, Design in Pittsburgh and Beyond. And we have been talking with the curator of the exhibit, Catherine Walworth. Catherine, you've been a wealth of information.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your amusing and informative insights with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Monday on the program, the 2015-2016 session of the Supreme Court begins. We'll bring in our legal expert, Pitt Law Professor David Harris, to look at some of the issues on the docket, which include affirmative action in college admissions and voting rights. That's Monday on Essential Pittsburgh. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying thanks for listening and have a great weekend, everybody.